This deadly red-colored virus has changed everyone's world. We publishers have been talking about our changed circumstances for about 2 months now. How much longer this will last, no one knows. But one thing is for certain. Publishing is not going back to what it was. Welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm an independent publisher and your host, Peter Goodman of Stonebridge Press. Now, on today's show, it's just me, no guest. Usually I do an interview, but today it's more of a rant, and I promise not to do this sort of thing very often. But before I get started, I just want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association, located on your internet dial at ibpa-online.org. IBPA is over 35 years old and has thousands of members who are publishers, hybrid publishers, author publishers, and aspiring publishers, publishing everything from kids' books to hard history, science, education, crafts, romance, and whatever else writers write and publishers publish. It is the single best place for any publisher to go to find out what's happening in publishing today, to get skills, to meet other publishers, and basically to become a professional in an industry that is competitive and demanding of quality and expertise. Publishers are not born, they're made. So let IBPA help you make yourself into the publisher you always wanted to be. Now, all that is a segue into today's topic, which is exactly in line with the overall title of this podcast itself, Publishing Today. And today here means in the era of COVID-19, and specifically, what is the post-COVID world of publishing going to look like? This deadly red-colored virus has changed everyone's world. We publishers have been talking about our changed circumstances for about 2 months now. How much longer this will last, no one knows. But one thing is for certain. Publishing is not going back to what it was. And thank God for that. I mean, does anyone really think that the publishing industry up to now has been operating to anyone's health and satisfaction? Publishing has always been a business that people did because they loved it. Like writing, like book selling. Basically, a lot of super talented and smart, driven, ambitious people working for peanuts and sometimes less than peanuts. Yes, many of us have figured out how to make a living in publishing, but that is often despite the worst aspects of the industry. Returns, high discounts, distributor chargebacks, predatory online retailers, super wasteful and expensive fuel charges, copyright piracy, and a demanding public that wants the most stuff for the lowest price, with a lot of companies willing to hack away at publisher profits to offer the consumer the illusion of value for money. So I, for one, am frankly eager to see some of the ways our industry might be changing as a result of this explosive disruption to what up to now has been considered normal ways of doing business. And in this podcast, I just want to mention some of the things I've noticed or heard others talking about. And if you disagree, well, good. Let me hear from you at Peter Goodman or at IBPA on Twitter. So, new reality number one, greater adoption of ebooks by readers. Now, this is one of the first things that happened when the lockdowns were announced. After years of holding steady and never becoming the print killer they were rumored to be, ebook sales took off. Bookstores were closed, and you didn't stand a chance of getting sick by downloading an iBook or a Kindle. And another part of this is that libraries announced that from now on they were going to be concentrating a lot more on digital. Physical libraries were closed, but patrons could still borrow using their OverDrive and other interfaces. And they did. A lot of book lovers said they hated ebooks, and they never felt comfortable with them. But now they do, and that's a huge evolutionary shift. New reality number two, fewer indie booksellers. We've all noticed that after 2008, indie booksellers had a resurgence. Customers loved them because they were everything Amazon was not. And the booksellers themselves became smarter about inventory and customer service and fostering community ties. Indies were on a roll. And now this. Well, sadly, some of these great indie stores won't survive. How could they, despite the loyalty of their customers and the emergence of outfits like bookshop.org that provide a needed fulfillment venue and a convenient and easy buying experience with a percentage of revenues kicked back to the shops? The reduced sales, though, are just not enough to cover the rents and the inventory buys, and many staff have had to be furloughed or even let go. Even if the shops themselves do open up again, some of those folks won't be coming back. So we cheer and celebrate the stores that will make it through, but we mourn the ones that don't, and leaving many communities now without a proper local venue where a friendly bookseller can recommend what to read next. New Reality 3, which is a corollary to New Reality number 2, the increased influence of wholesalers and online vendors. Well, if the local store is closed or gone, you don't have many options except to buy your book online from somebody. Maybe bookshop.org, but also probably Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. The lockdown has been good for online business. Amazon gave up some of its clout by switching its focus for a while to household goods like masks, foods, cleaning supplies, leaving a vacuum for places like bookshop.org to jump in. But Amazon has picked up the pace of their buying again, so I don't think anyone has any illusions that Amazon has been weakened. And behind the scenes, companies like Ingram Wholesale have been moving tons of books and doing fulfillment even for a lot of the indie bookshops that used to order books into their shops. Wholesalers are probably now bigger and more powerful than ever. And thank goodness for that. For the most part, they've been treating their old customers well and arranging for payment terms. And why not? They make money either way. In fact, they seem to make money from just about every aspect of the book business now, even printing. So you do have to wonder how much more dominant a player they will be in the next 2 to 3 years. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. New reality number 4, which is the second corollary to number 2, more competition for Amazon. Yeah, Ingram is looking stronger, but its DNA doesn't allow it to chase direct-to-consumer sales, only facilitate them. It might have the tools to compete against Amazon, but it's not necessarily using them, considering that Amazon is one of its big customers. Where we see real new competition to Amazon is in big box retailers like Target and Walmart. They can move tons of books, and they do, especially kids' titles. And like Amazon, they can leverage interest in books to interest in toilet paper and hand sanitizer. But unlike Amazon, they are not selling highbrow literature and translation. Or should we say, they're not selling it yet. Mass market oriented, though the big boxes may be, anything that provides some competition to Amazon, it's a good thing. And on the other hand, though, it's not like these other retailers are particularly kind to book publishers. Publishers are just another supplier, after all, and for all they care, we're just folks selling paper bricks covered in ink and glue. New reality number 5. A vast new world of virtual book marketing and promotion. The physical book launch is dead. Long live the virtual book launch. And just as resistance to ebooks has evaporated away, so too has resistance to online meetings. Zoom is no longer a substitute for the real thing. It is the real thing. And we're all discovering its convenience, low cost, and its ability to unite people everywhere instead of just those within driving distance. The online event has resulted in publishers redirecting their marketing efforts and transforming the way they sell books. Publishers are now even more all about creating online communities, and publishers are partnering with companies and associations that up to now have not been obvious publishing or promotion partners. Now, some of this has resulted in increased disintermediation as publishers take over the sales themselves, something they could never have done when the bookseller was their partner. And this has increased the reach of publishers. Many publishers who never had book distribution but wanted it are now maybe finding they don't need it so much anymore. And the result? A whole new sales ecosystem that has nothing to do with the traditional foundations of our industry. There is a really, really big challenge here for booksellers to accommodate this new way of interacting. They may open their doors, but can they keep their customers engaged? New reality number 6, a proliferation of author publishers. With a lot of people out of jobs and spending more time at home, more books and ebooks are bound to emerge. Now, sometimes this is out of desperation, but more often it's out of pent-up desire and increased opportunities that all of the above new realities I've mentioned so far are now offering authors as ways of becoming publishers themselves. Perhaps you've heard the phrase artisanal publishing. I first heard the phrase at an IBPA PubU in Chicago a couple years ago. It suggests publishing as a craft, a home-based activity, not so much a business, maybe. Is this a good thing? Well, not entirely, as it dilutes the marketplace and may again create an unfortunate line between real and hobby publishing. How will quality and standards be maintained? Well, maybe IBPA can help. But, you know, the more books that are available, the harder it is for any single title to emerge from the pack. There is a kind of natural selection at work, but sometimes money and splash do buy a lot of eyeballs. With much of bookselling now happening in virtual spaces, there is no limit on how many books the internet can absorb. In the end, books are information, and information is what keeps us free and informed. So more books is more of a good thing than not. And here's another positive trend. All this creates more opportunities for book reviewers, booktubers, bookstagrammers, and smart online retailers and brick-and-mortar booksellers to show us why critical acumen and curation of lists are so important. New reality number 7, the domination of print on demand. Anyone who's listened to me over the past couple of years knows that I'm a big believer in print on demand and digital short print run technologies. The pandemic has only improved the logic for POD, especially for books that can travel internationally but that can't be shipped or air freighted due to quarantines. As bookstores shut down and money flow tightens, there are fewer reasons to hold inventory, but instead to print only when the orders come in. All the fulfillment can be arranged through the same wholesalers that have geared up to service many of the Amazon and store orders anyway. And you could expect that wholesalers like Ingram are hard at work fashioning their suite of services to better accommodate a complete vertical integration of their business, from manufacturing and ebook conversions to storing to shipping to rights management, and at some point, maybe even publishing books themselves. Many of the new breed of author publishers emerging, as I mentioned above, will only look at POD and work exclusively through places like Lightning Source or Amazon. They don't need and they don't want brick-and-mortar bookshops. This trend has been developing for a long time, and I like it. I dream of the day when print-on-demand machines are installed in metropolitan areas to offer on-the-spot, same-day manufacturing delivery of any one of the millions and millions of books currently in publishers' databases. Well, okay, there you have my list of 7 big new realities I see coming to our industry as a result of the forced lockdown. And there are a lot more ways we're being affected too, like the effect of decision-making when we're all working at home, or diversity in publishing. Will virtual spaces create silos, or will they create broad communities? Maybe all the shut-ins will produce a spate of fantastic new novels and then publish them all themselves. Maybe in time, all of us indie publishers will disappear and it'll just be authors and readers and nothing in between. You know, all the trends I've touched on here, they were all being incubated before the lockdown began. Our industry, in other words, was already changing, but now that growth has been accelerated. Maybe it's a good thing that none of us really had time to plan this all out methodically. We probably would have got it all wrong, and for sure, we needed a kick in the butt. So now, forced to change, let's hope we make the right choices and emerge stronger and healthier as people and as publishers. Thanks again for listening. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And write to me at the handles at Peter Goodman or at IBPA on Twitter. And be sure to check out ibpa-online.org. It's been a rough couple months for all of us, but as my boss in Japan used to say, although they might not say it now, let's have publishing fun.